This episode was uploaded Saturday, February 4th, 2023, and you're listening to episode 21 of the 5x5 Room RPG Podcast. There are many elements of tabletop RPGs that are considered timeless staples of the genre. Classically, dungeons have served to provide not only a series of challenges and traps, but also the potential for loot to keep the murder hobos of your party happy. But have things changed? What's different about the dungeons of today compared to the classic dungeons that have existed in the hobby for decades? Today, Jeremy and I tackle one of the D's in D&D, dungeons, and how you can improve on your own dungeon design. The running time for this episode is 30 minutes.
Welcome to the 5x5 Room. I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Hollis.
And today we are going to talk about dungeons, a common theme in games such as Dungeons & Dragons.
Dragons will be coming in a different episode, so please stay tuned.
But let's try to talk about dungeons. So these are a bit of a touchy topic because, well, in recent years they've definitely fallen out of fashion. And I think it's because a lot of times when we think about dungeons, we sort of think of that old 1970s version of D&D, where we're crawling through a dungeon, fighting monsters over and over, trying to find as much loot that we can so that we can get the princess to give us a kiss or whatever.
Old school dungeons, looking back at older editions, tended to be more of this sort of slog fest, where the characters would simply go from combat to combat, from room to room, vanquishing any and every bad guy in sight, and making sure they got as much precious loot as they possibly could. Of course, things have changed a lot since the early iterations of D&D. These days, it's uncommon you're going to have a dungeon expedition with basically no narrative or additional exploration options available during the encounter.
So let's talk a bit about that. I wanted to discuss designing a dungeon, and I have something that I'm probably going to be saying a lot through most of these bullet points, which is, first of all, have a theme in mind. And a theme could mean a lot of things. It could potentially be a specific description of how things look. It could be the types of monsters that dwell in a place. It could even be like an elemental theme, like, oh, this dungeon has like a fire theme. Whatever you want to go with, just having something that you can kind of keep coming back to will make it a lot easier to guide your decision making.
It also adds a bit of cohesion. When you have a specific area that is themed around certain concepts, it does feel as though it's something that's carefully crafted and has a reason to be there, instead of just being a series of just coincidental happenings in a giant hallway.
Which brings me to my first point, making it make sense. I think the first step in making a dungeon in the current century that we exist in for tabletop games is you want it to make sense. So you can't just have a group of so-and-so monsters that have also decided that they are just now party to these other monsters. They're all just best friends and they all want to kill you at the same time. And some wizard just trapped them in here years ago and who knows what they've even been surviving off of. It just all starts to fall apart. So you need to start by thinking about, why is this dungeon even here in the first place? Is it really a dungeon? Is this like an ancient vault that existed a long time ago and maybe it has some kind of built-in security system? What was it? What did it used to be? And then you can sort of think about, okay, how can we turn this into the elements of a dungeon that we as tabletop gamers and even like video game players can kind of like recognize while not just throwing monsters at the players?
Something I think that will come up is going to be how we actually compare and parallel the creation of dungeons to the creation of good villains or other NPCs. When you're crafting a good villain, as an example, you're not going to just take some random traits, throw it onto that NPC that you've crafted, and hope that that's good enough. It's more likely you're going to put some thought and effort into carefully crafting that person's motivations, therefore making them a bit more believable or a bit more scary or a bit more of whatever it is you're choosing to make that villain. Dungeons are the same way. The more care and craft you put into theming it around something or having all the kind of pieces line up together to make it something interesting for the players to traverse, ultimately, the better kind of experience, the better dungeon you're going to create.
Where I had mentioned before, like, what did this place used to be? When you are establishing an environment for a dungeon, I think it's important to think about what is already there, what can we use, what can be turned into a threat that might not have been one previously. As I had mentioned before, maybe you have an ancient vault, and it could have things like elementals or constructs, things that have been left behind that we don't have to explain why they are still here and still killing people. And it also helps to explain, okay, well, that's why there's still treasure just lying around here, maybe years, centuries later.
Right. Like, for example, if you were to have a dungeon, a cavern, that gets explored all the time, but just it just so happens in this next week, as the players begin to investigate this cavern, there's a crate with 1,500 gold pieces in it. It would
Or better yet, a treasure chest, a classic just treasure chest filled with coins.
Perfectly placed there, no lock on it, you know, just wide open for anyone who approaches.
This is where the old farmer stores his life savings. He's got a chest in a cave.
Granted, it feels great when players find loot. It feels great when players are able to get the cool, shiny new thing. But, of course, that loot or the other cool items you're placing in that dungeon need to sort of have a reason for being there. If they just operate out of nowhere with no really good motivation for why they're put there in the first place, it's just convenient loot.
So if you want to give the players a shiny new sword in the dungeon, I don't know, maybe have someone wield it against them. That way when they defeat them, they can take it from them and they can see how cool it is leading up to that point. Which leads me to talking about threats. The other thing that is going to be common in a dungeon is it needs some kind of threats. A very common threat is usually traps, and these are also something that I think we should take some time to sort of talk about. Traps are very difficult because in Indiana Jones, it's really exciting to watch the sweat, you know, dripping down his forehead as he has the weighted bag that he's trying to swap out, and then now he's being chased by this boulder. But it gets very difficult to do this in an actual role-playing game.
You want the traps that are going to be present, of course, to challenge the party, to make them look at the battlefield and what they're engaging in a very unique, sort of different way, and ultimately be a new puzzle element that they have to navigate through. But also, traps can be the bane of players' existence, and in some cases, create an entirely unfun experience. If you know that the traps available in the dungeon are going to be overwhelming or directly prevent the players from progressing forward without defeating or disabling said trap, you actually can find yourselves in this really bad loop that generates negative play experiences.
And what happens when your player runs into the pitfall or the trap that they even notice? Like, it's only going to have one of two effects. Either the player characters see it and they disarm it, at which point the trap only really served to be like a slight speed bump on their journey. Or it affects them, and maybe they lose a few hit points and kind of serves as a small speed bump on their journey. Traps work best if you can incorporate them in the space of an encounter, or at the very least in the space of a narrative, like while things are happening. Just having a trap in the middle of a hallway that drops someone into a spike pit and they take some damage and then they climb out and they go, well, that sucks. It's not very exciting, and I think one of the ways that older editions of D&D used to handle this is they had traps that would just outright kill player characters, but I can promise you that's not very fun either, because either it means that your campaign screeches to a halt, or once again, it does nothing.
I think here's a great opportunity to challenge yourselves. For example, sure, we all are familiar with the pressure plate trap that when you step on it, it's going to send arrows flying out of the wall. But don't let that be the end of the trap conundrum there. How about this? The character that wants to try to do their best to successfully disarm the trap, maybe allow them to manipulate it in a unique way. Instead, they can choose when the trap is triggered, and in the incoming fight, they can actually use the said trap that they would trigger on themselves against the very creatures that set it up. In this way, it's more rewarding.
Yeah, I think it's a super fun idea. I was also thinking, as an alternative, you could just tell the players that, hey, you're a seasoned adventurer, and as you walk down here, you go, that's a pressure plate, whatever, and they can just step over it. And then later, you have them chased down the same hallway by something, and now it's a threat.
Oh, I love that. That's awesome.
Before, it was just, oh, yeah, whatever, there's a pressure plate. We'll move around it. But now, we have to navigate around it while things are happening.
And especially when you start getting the story moving, like you said, the chase happens. Oh, yeah, it presents a whole bunch of narrative and like unique opportunities for the players.
And that's where things get fun. When players are just walking around in a series of hallways that connect to a series of rooms, it's not really going to be that interesting. You want to make sure that they're constantly interacting with things so that they can be making these decisions themselves. It's very easy for a scripted dungeon to just feel like a railroad. Like, okay, you go down this path to get the key so you can go back to the other door and unlock it and go through that door. But you want to try to give them as much autonomy as you can while they're exploring. The other primary threat is what is inside the dungeon. I kind of talked a bit about this. Maybe you want some autonomous security or elementals, but okay, let's say you want kobolds to be in here. That's fine too. There's very interesting ways that we can run with this. We can have kobolds that have like begun nesting in here because maybe there's a dragon that they worship, or maybe they just found it as a safe space they can keep away from people. There's ways that you can kind of pick a monster or a group of monsters that you want to incorporate into a dungeon and try to think of why it makes sense for them to be here. And if it doesn't make sense for them to be here, maybe try something else.
And really, the sky is kind of the limit here, right? You might consider first a group of kobolds that all seem to work together. But who knows? Maybe those kobolds are working alongside an owlbear, who is a pet of a werewolf, or any number of other kinds of odd combinations like this that you can tie together narratively to make it an interesting thing to explore and to learn about. Again, give your dungeon a personality.
Maybe they've been feeding this owlbear over time, and that's why it kind of listens to them right now, but the player characters could realize this, and they could use that against them by giving food to the owlbear first, maybe proving that they are more likely allies. There's different ways that you can lead player characters down this road other than just kill the next thing, kill the next thing, kill the next thing. So I kind of wanted to talk about the classic graph paper dungeon and some just very common faults that it has. And I don't really have a whole lot of good solutions for these, so I'm hoping maybe we can just spitball some things together.
Let's do it.
One of the first things that I was thinking of was simulating darkness. It's very often that you're going into an old decrepit dungeon of some kind and you gotta pull out your torch and you can only see a few, maybe tens of feet ahead of you. But this gets really like complicated when you get into the nuance of combat. Okay, what happens to my character with a two-handed sword? I don't have a hand to carry this torch. What happens when I chase after an enemy and the guy with a torch is like down the hallway? Do I have to use darkness rules because now the enemy has concealment? Can I still hear them and act accordingly? Narratively, is this darkness doing anything for me? Like, is it making the atmosphere spooky, or is it just making me have to pull in other rules?
Before I kind of attack this question directly, I will actually lend a criticism here to Dungeons & Dragons. Really, I feel as though part of the difficulty of Dungeons & Dragons is trying to find out what happens when the players continually miss. And darkness, of course, and the way the darkness works in Dungeons & Dragons, usually pushes a lot of players to end up missing a lot if available light sources aren't present or they lack the necessary vision to be able to see through it. The end result of this is that sometimes the combats can drag on for a long time, longer than they should, because the players are in a constant state of missing given the terrain or environment. I am a huge fan of changing this outright. In every opportunity where I can give my players the ability to see the combat in a way that doesn't necessarily have it grind to a screeching halt, I'll take that opportunity. So my immediate simple answer to this would be, just assume they have some version of sight in this what should be low light dungeon to remove this screeching halt problem. One idea would be, prep some of these concepts into the dungeon design. Perhaps you add wall sconces or some other kind of brazier that will hold a light source and fill light within the room. And if anything, you can treat it sort of like a pseudo trap, something that the players need to make sure is taken care of first to give themselves the greatest opportunity to come out successful.
I mean, I like that idea. I think that's a good take on it, trying to make it part of the mechanics that the players have to deal with. I just feel like darkness is like an element that it's scary in real life when you can't see anything and trying to navigate through this dark dungeon with 15 feet ahead of you that your torch lights up would be extremely intimidating in like a real perspective, but it's very, very hard to simulate that. I think you've got some good ideas there. I don't know that I have a perfect answer, but it does lead me to my next thing, which is getting lost. Another very classic dungeon is the maze, like the Minotaur's maze that you have to like find your way through. And if you've ever played like an older like 3D video game that has like a maze like this, or if you've ever gone through like a a house of mirrors, you'll find that mazes are actually extremely difficult to navigate through in real life.
Absolutely.
But when you're looking down on them from like a top-down view on like a piece of paper, they're extremely easy to navigate. And trying to make this happen is, I've never had good luck with it in the past.
If anything, I think this kind of lends to a conversation about dungeon complexity and the difficulty to traverse it overall. It's somewhat similar to the conversation about how hard a puzzle should be for a party. For me, it's always been, well, that depends on the party. In some cases, maybe you have the kind of table that wants to sit down with a piece of graph paper and mark down every left turn, every right turn, every incline and decline that the party has taken since they've begun. And from that, have the entire layout of the map available at all times to figure out where they haven't traveled.
I think that honestly, like, sounds really rewarding, but I've never actually seen it happen.
Neither have I. It seems like this sort of like pipe dream. I imagine only one out of every, I don't know, 10 tables has a group that really wants to do something like that. And actually, that's amazing. I think it's best to play towards the table that you have.
Right.
If that means that you can just give context clues if they're going in the right direction, if that's good enough, I say go for that. A simple description. Maybe even while they're asking you questions as the dungeon master, simply point it out and say, you know, a few rooms ago, there was a door that you didn't check. The secret will be revealed if you take the opportunity to investigate.
It really helps players to have a visual reference already. You don't have to give them your whole map, obviously. Like, it's pretty difficult. But if you have an easy way to just, like, sketch out something for them that they can see, okay, so there's a door here, a door here. I kind of remember this room. Okay, well, let's check out all these doors before we move on. I think that is a lot more helpful than just hoping that the players remember everything.
I feel like a visible map that even you can sort of provide in sections, or maybe you have available to reveal as the party explores more, is helpful. Overall, for me, what this comes down to is making sure that there's not going to be a point during the exploration where the party is completely stopped from progressing. In some cases, you might think, oh, we can't disarm a particular trap, or we might have trouble trying to actually find the hidden room to get to the next area we're supposed to wind up at. But having the party stuck, that can kill a D&D session.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't lock progression behind hidden things. Now, this gets a little complicated. I just had a dungeon that I had run where there was like specific keys that were needed to open specific doors. And obviously, if the player characters didn't find one of the keys, they would be stopped. But it was a pretty small and easy to navigate dungeon. And for the most part, it was going to be difficult for that to happen. But it is very possible that your players could end up at a door without a key and say, okay, now what? And then they go, we go back and we look harder. Because that's what your players are going to tell you, because they don't know where they're supposed to be looking in this giant labyrinth. Which gets to the other thing that I wanted to ask about. Here's my last problem that I could think of with the graph paper dungeon, and that is time passage. This is a very difficult thing to measure in a role-playing game because we're doing a lot of simulation where we have a combat that takes place over the course of 1 or 2 minutes that in real life takes us an hour. And then at the same time, we walk down a 100-foot hallway that should probably take us a few minutes and we're done in half a second. So this gets very difficult to wrap your head around sometimes. Should you even allow players to just say, hey, we go back to that one room with the thing, and you go, okay, you're back at that room. Should things happen on the interim? Should they run into things? Back in older editions of D&D, you had like random encounter tables for things like that. Maybe they would trigger a trap on their way or run into an extra patrol that was marching around they had missed earlier. But in a smaller dungeon, like, well, they've seen it all. So can they just effectively teleport back to this room and fast travel?
I'm actually going to call myself a bit of a hypocrite here, and let me tell you why. Often when I know that my players are traversing a long distance, and the game has provided, or I have provided, a random encounter table, I tend to shy away from using it. mostly because I want the combats that the players are going to engage in to actually be meaningful. Sure, it's fine to have just buckets of HP for them to chop down and feel good about themselves on occasion, but often if combats don't really have a purpose, similar to the dungeon design, if there's no personality behind it, it's just numbers getting chomped down to zero as quickly and efficiently as possible. But with dungeon crawling, I feel a little bit differently. I think that because I accept that the dungeon design is meant to be something that's more thematic, that has a lot of background to it, I tend to want to use pre-made combats that kind of fit that dungeon if the players backtrack too often, as sort of a punishment of certain saves or rolls were missed, so now additional creatures are found throughout this underground area that people don't traverse often.
Well, so on that note, let's talk about combats and how long they take. I think the ideal dream scenario in a dungeon crawl, you could maybe do 2 or 3 combats in one session. How many combats are we going to see in this dungeon?
That's a good point. And in fact, that would directly lead you into the question of, well, how many days are they going to be in the dungeon?
Which even goes back to, okay, in D&D, there's specific rules for how often you can rest and get benefits from doing so. So it's like, okay, what do we do? I'm out of spell slots after 3 encounters, but we've made it through 3 rooms in the 50-room dungeon. Is it going to take us a month to get through this thing? Am I just going to keep taking naps on the floor? This is also where the dungeon starts to fall apart, and it gets very difficult to manage. There were older D&D modules that were just a dungeon. You would go into this place, and you were there for weeks, just trying to get to the end of it. In a way, I think there's some fun ideas to that, and there's ways that you can do that in an interesting way. But realistically, how do we keep things from getting boring without having like a whole lot of NPCs or plot that we can kind of rely on when the players are really just going from room to room and, okay, we solved that puzzle. Okay, we triggered that trap. Okay, we beat that encounter. Next room. Next room.
I may have a bit of an answer on how to make it more interesting, but I'm not going to give something unique. I'm actually just going to point to the source material itself. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Curse of Strahd.
Oh.
And by that, I mean everything we've seemed to have discussed and talked about today to some degree. Incredibly fleshed out rooms and whole halls have an entirely separate personality from other parts of the entire castle. It's terrifying in some areas. It has a crypt, as well as a garden, as well as spires and traps and staircases and slides.
And can you imagine that someone was paid a lot of money to do all of this work for you?
A lot of money?
Well, probably not a whole lot, but you know.
Yeah, it was probably okay. It was probably okay.
Yeah. The point is, it is a job to create a dungeon like this. If you want a really thematic, interesting dungeon with fun rooms and a plot behind it and characters in it, you're going to spend a lot of time on it. If you do that much work, you're going to be like, well, this better be most of the campaign. If they walk in this dungeon and leave after 2 sessions, I spent like a 40-hour work week planning it, which is all the more reason to rely on things like Ravenloft or other pre-made dungeons that are out there, of which there's tons.
Like a lot of good elements that are going to contribute to your game being a success, obviously the time spent into creating your dungeon is also going to be a big part of that. If you really want your party to hate a villain, for example, you're going to make sure they do truly despicable things that resonate in that way with the party. In the same way how when you craft a dungeon, you should be considering the interests of your party. What's going to push them forward? What's the kind of things they don't excel as well at? And so it doesn't become something that brings the game to a halt. These things all matter, and they require careful attention and actual conscious effort.
I think we're getting down to the sort of recommendation phases of, let's say you're a game master and you think that there should be a dungeon coming up in your game. What sort of approaches should you take? And I'm going to start off with the first one. Decide, do you really need a dungeon for this? Is this something that could be solved in a much shorter span of maybe 1 or 2 encounters that are described narratively with some skill checks in between? Or do we need to really map things out and go through this dungeon? Because I think 9 times out of 10, you can do this in a much simpler way, and it's going to make everyone a lot happier.
I think you should always consider the party resources. Maybe you're going to run a game that's going to have a difficulty for the party to find important resources. Well, if they're going to be in a dungeon or a cavern or a tomb for any extended period of time, you need to make sure that you have it in place, the ways in which they can sustain themselves, whether that's by foraging the things that grow down there or preparing well in advance with additional days' rations. You don't want the party to go without being able to replace and keep intact the things that are important to them. As their equipment and food and rations begin to degrade, so will the party's interest in staying there in that dungeon.
And I think you should take a good look at your group and decide if this is something that they would find fun in the first place. There are some people that think it's pretty fun to have to manage, okay, how much food do we have? When can we sleep? Is it safe to sleep? Who's going to stay up on watch? That can be fun sometimes. There's other groups that don't really want to deal with all of that nuance, and they just kind of want to move on and get the treasure and get out so they can get back to the next big plot point or meet the next important character. If you want to try a dungeon, I recommend start small. Try to make something that maybe will take a session or two to get through. You can have some interesting treasure for the players to find. If you want to map it out, you can, but don't feel like you have to have an encounter in every room or a trap in every room or a treasure chest in every room. Just sort of put something together that you can feel out how the players feel about it before you make a giant 6-month campaign out of going through one dungeon.
I'm going to pull something I've seen recently from a modern video game. Perhaps maybe there exists a mineshaft, and the mineshaft itself has already been completely dug, and there are the tracks that allow you to get from point A to point B. So as the party approaches the entrance of this mineshaft, they are informed that something really terrible has been unearthed, and as a result, their assistance is now needed to clear out that mineshaft. Think about that. You've given a unique area for the party to explore. That's a bit away from what they're used to. They get to find something that is underground that has a sort of same feeling, but they know that there's an exit as well as an entrance into this location. They're not sealed in, unable to escape unless a series of puzzles and traps are triggered or disarmed entirely for them to be able to continue forward.
That is true. You probably don't want to trap your players in a dungeon, especially if you aren't exactly sure how they feel about them yet.
I don't even think we touched on it, but another good idea to consider is, hey, do you want your party to be able to leave after they enter?
It is a pretty important point. I feel like in most cases, the answer should always be yes.
Unless, I would agree.
Once again, you want your party just taking naps every 3 fights. I think that's about all I've got for it, other than I do want to note, keep with your theme and try to keep the plot going, even if you're in a dungeon. Like, allow for them to still meet some kind of NPCs or get some kind of story, even if it's a little light from what they're seeing. Like, maybe they can find journals written by people that have been there before that might have some information, or maybe there's a prisoner that's been kept there that they have to deal with. Maybe they capture one of the bad guys for information. There's ways that you can keep it from just being a slog.
Jeremy and I are huge fans of a good session zero, and I feel as though a session zero right before your campaign starts, and even maybe just a feedback session occasionally, does a lot in allowing you to be able to flesh out these sorts of things. Knowing what your party really enjoys encountering, knowing the kind of themes that interest them or the other media that they may enjoy, it allows you to kind of carefully craft these elements into your dungeon design in a way that, yeah, may be a little heavy-handed, but that you'll know will be rewarding to the party.
And if you want to learn more about that, you can listen to our episode about Session Zero.
It's one of our most favorite episodes, and actually, yeah, please, it would be great.
But aside from that, I think we're winding down about here now. Hollis, do you have anything else you want to add about dungeons?
No, I think that about covers it. Now I'm just excited on our Dragons episode.
Yeah, I'm not sure how we're going to talk for 30 minutes about them, but I guess there are a lot of different kinds. So
I think we'll find a way.
Okay. Well, on that note, thank you for listening. If you have any suggestions for episodes, please let us know. You can reach us at the5x5room@gmail.com or on any social media.
We look forward to talking with you next time. Have a good night, everyone.